Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Tuesday, December the 11th, and we got a great show for you today. We're about 48 hours removed from the big Miami Dolphins win over the New England Patriots this past Sunday, the Miami Miracle. Still, you know, at the top of all of our minds, just a thrilling win and just a big win to keep the Miami Dolphins season alive. And I was trying to think about this, you know, as a fan of this team, like we all are who listen to shows like this, we really haven't had a moment in time like this, God, in a long time. And there's been few moments like this over the past 20 years or so. The two closest ones I can remember, number one would be the playoff game against the Colts where Lamar Smith ran for over 200 yards and had that long touchdown run in overtime to win the game and send Miami on to the next round of the playoffs. That, it was a thrilling ending, a big win, big game, big moment. Now Hard Rock Stadium, then Joe Robbie Stadium, or whatever the heck it was called on that day. You know, that was a sort of a moment like the Miami Miracle, and it was a playoff game nonetheless. The other one, to a lesser extent, 2016 Christmas Eve against the Buffalo Bills when Andrew Franks hit that big 55-yard field goal, sent it to overtime. And then they win in overtime to go to the playoffs and clinch up their playoff spot. You know, those are the two, you know, thrilling moments that in the past 20 years, there really hasn't been a lot. But this one obviously tops them all. Just because, A, it's the Patriots. We all hate the Patriots. At any time, we can bring pain to the Patriots and make them squirm and suffer, even just a little bit. It makes it more enjoyable and just... B, because just how that crazy that play was. Usually, you know, and I'm seeing now clips of Kim Bocamper with Adam Gase showing them practice the play at the walkthrough the Saturday before and how they practiced it every week. And that's all well and good. To execute a play like that, and they executed it perfectly. You kind of wish they would execute some other plays on offense that perfectly. But, you know, that's another story for another day. You know, how they executed it perfectly. It just really is. It is a miracle. There's no way. There's no other word to describe it. Because we see plays like that, you know, all the time. At the end of a game, team's down. They sort of throw the short pass. And they start, you know, laddering the ball back. And within, like, you know, 10 seconds, the ball gets hit. Or somebody hits, like, an offensive guard who somehow has the ball in his arms. And he goes down easy. And that's the end of the game. It just ends right then and there. This one, you know, everyone did their job. Tannehill with a crisp pass to Stills. Stills with the first lateral to Parker. Parker, you know, he did a great job with his lateral to Drake. And then Drake found some space, got in, he found a route to the end zone. And, of course, Ted Larson with that big block to sort of give Drake more of a, you know, path to the end zone. Everyone did their job. So, you know, a great win. And, you know, from a Miami standpoint, I'll talk about that in a minute. But first, from the Patriots standpoint, how bad is this loss for them? And I know as fans of the Dolphins, you know, not something we really think about, but I'm going to talk about it for a second because, to me, this could be the play, and we don't know yet. We won't know for another 3 weeks, really. But this could be the play that signals the end of the Patriots dynasty. And hear me out. The Patriots, the past 17 years or so, you know, have been one of the best, if not the best, all-time dynasty in NFL history. Better than the Pittsburgh Steelers of the late 70s. Better than San Francisco of the 80s. Better than the Cowboys. I mean, it's been a longer run of dominance by a franchise. They got, what, 5 Super Bowls, I think, now? I mean, I lost count, honestly, how many they got. And they seem to be in the game, you know, more often than not. But, you know, at some point, this will end. Tom Brady, as much as he says he wants to play till he's like 50 years old, he's not. He's got 1 or 2 years left, realistically. The head coach is 66, And, you know, he's not the guy that he once was, you know, 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, where for 365 days a year, and that is not a joke, folks, literally close to every day of the year, he would lock himself in a room and just watch tape and film. And that's not an exaggeration. He took very few vacations. He had very little of a social life. And he just locked himself in a room pretty much every day of the year and watched film. And that, and you talk to anyone who knows him or and stuff, they will tell you that's the truth. You know, the past 2 or 3 years, you know, he's met someone. I'm not sure if he's married yet or if it's with if she's still technically his girlfriend on camera. But, you know, he's posing for pictures for the cover of Nantucket Magazine. He's gotten older. He's gotten a little softer, although sometimes when you see him with the media, it doesn't seem that way. But he really has, you know, gotten softer. He's not the guy who's locking himself in the film room all year. He's just not. So his life has changed. Tom Brady's getting older. This is coming to an end. And if the Patriots this year, the AFC really is Kansas City, New England, and Houston. Everyone else is a little bit of a joke. If this, throughout their whole run, the Patriots have been either the one seed or the two seed and pretty much had a cakewalk to the AFC Championship game and one game away from the Super Bowl. If this loss ends up pushing New England down to the three seed and forcing them to play an extra playoff game, making their trip to the Super Bowl harder because, you know, for the majority of this run, it's been an easy road to the Super Bowl. Harder than you can, and to the point where it prevents them from heading to the Super Bowl because playing that extra game maybe takes something out of them, and, you know, it sort of prevents them from making the Super Bowl. You can look back at this play, the Miami Miracle, saying that's where it started. Because if the Patriots hold on, which they should have held on, let's be honest. I mean, the play, it's like you could run that play 100 times. It might work once. Well, it worked the one time Miami needed it. But for the Patriots, if they just make the stop there, you know, they're going to be a one seed or a two seed in the AFC. No question about it. And they're on their way to being in the AFC title game, one game away from the Super Bowl, just like normal. And they're living in their nice little rosy world. Well, now they got to fight for a first round bye, and they might not get it, folks. They really might not get it. So if that play is the play that knocks the Patriots down to the three line and prevents them from getting a first round bye, which prevents them from getting to the AFC title game or winning the AFC title game, you know, Tom Brady's not going to have many more cracks at this. Like I said, one or two at most. The head coach is not going to have many more cracks at this. One or two at most. And this might be the play in the game that, you know, started the ball rolling of the end of the Patriots dynasty. Because when they leave, I don't care who they get as head coach, I don't care who they get to be their next quarterback, it ain't going to be the same. Okay? It's just not. So this play, we won't know for a few more weeks, but really maybe for like a month or so, because all depends how they play in the playoffs, might be the play that ruined the Patriots' 2018 season, forced them to play an extra playoff game, made their trip to the AFC title game a lot tougher, and might be the game that sort of keeps them out of the Super Bowl this year. And if that is, you know, that might be the play that sort of starts the snowball of the end of the Patriots dynasty. We don't know yet. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but just keep that in the back of your mind. That's how big that play was, not just from a Miami standpoint, but from a Patriots standpoint. Now, from a Miami standpoint, you're on cloud nine. The Miami Dolphins organization right now, from the secretaries to the trainers to the janitors, right now are on cloud nine. The emotion from that win and how that game ended will carry over, you know, all week. And that can be good or that can be bad. The momentum from this game, it can be good in that the Dolphins season, you know, was pretty dull. A lot of injuries, a lot of bad luck. Nothing was going right. The offense stunk. They can't stop anybody on defense. You get a play like that, and everything's now looked at in a whole new light. Energy on the team, energy with the coaching staff, energy with the entire organization, and energy with the fan base, too. And now you're going into these final three games, and two of those games are against teams that are 4-9. Don't forget that. They're 4-9 for a reason, folks. Okay? They're just not very good. Where if the Dolphins win out, they're in the playoffs. They are really the team that controls their own destiny. So, you know, that momentum, they can use it to propel them and lead them into this game against the Vikings and have that carryover effect. Or there's the opposite side, though, which I do have a little bit of fear of. And that, you know, it's such an emotional win. And it's, you know, human nature. You're not going to get that type of win out of your system for a few days, if not longer, if not a week. And, you know, they could come out this week as the Vikings flat because they just got nothing left. They were just emotionally drained after that win. They sort of celebrated the win. They basked in all the attention that the win put on the team and the players. And, oh, next thing you know, we're at Sunday and we got a game against the Vikings. And they're, you know, pretty good team. They might be going through some hard times, but they're not awful. And we're on the road and, oh, crap, we didn't really prepare like we should have. And we didn't really focus on the Vikings. Oh, now we got the Vikings and, you know, it's a bad outcome. So there's that side of it. And if any team knows anything about having that type of win and the carryover, the hangover, I guess you could say, effect of the following week, it's the Vikings. Because the Vikings last year in the playoffs had that Case Keenum to Stephon Diggs pass at the end of the game at home against the Saints, which won the game. And, you know, the place went nuts. The team was going nuts. Stephon Diggs throws off his helmet. He's celebrating. The team's going crazy on the field. Oh, my God, we're in the NFC title game, blah, blah, blah. And they came out the next week against Philadelphia and got their doors blown off. So, you know, those moments in time are great. And the big wins are obviously great. Nobody's saying otherwise. But you can only hold on to them for so long. Not so much as fans. Fans can do whatever they want. We can do whatever we want. But, you know, the team and the players, you hope, you know, by the time most of you are listening to this, it'll probably be Wednesday. You know, have your head screwed on straight and start focusing on the Vikings, because you can't have that type of win drain you and cause you to lose focus, because the next three games are going to be huge for Miami. And not only are they huge for Miami, for obvious reasons, they're fighting for a playoff spot, they're even much bigger for the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. And I got to talk about it because, you know, after that game on Sunday, you know, the Tannehill, you know, talking about Tannehill, once again, like talking about politics, you pick a side. You either love him, and no matter what he does, you're going to spin it and defend him, and he's perfect, he does no wrong, or you're on the opposite side, and even when he does something great, he still sucks, I hate him, he's got to go. And there's not many people, what I call, in the reasonable middle. And I like to think I'm in the reasonable middle, because I am in the reasonable middle. I root for the guy, I want him to do what, I think he's okay, but, you know, he's just okay. And anybody, you know, you got the Tannehill supporters now, who, you know, have forgotten the games against Cincinnati, who have forgotten the games against the Patriots back in October-ish and stuff, September, and none of that counts. And now, just look at his quarterback rating. His quarterback rating proves he's great. Look at him, come on. You got it. You can't do that. You can't do that. Yes, the quarterback rating is good, but, you know, this week we're going to judge him on quarterback rating. Next week when that's bad, we're going to judge him on wins in his last 10 starts. And then after that, if that's not, it's like a sliding scale with the supporters. I'll say one thing about the people that hate him. No matter what he does, they just hate him. They don't use a sliding scale. They don't care what the stats are. They just flat out hate him and want him gone. So I'll give that side credit. They're consistent. The supporters are all over the map. And they come out with, you know, a new stat every day of why the guy doesn't suck. And nobody's saying he sucks, but, you know, it is what it is. And Tannehill was in a situation very similar to what he is now. A few years back, Miami, the final two games of the year under Joe Philbin, he had a chance to make the playoffs. They had to beat the Bills on the road, home against the Jets. I think they only had to win 1-2. It ended up being, but obviously, both those teams that year kind of stunk. If they would have won them both, you know, against two bad teams, they're in the playoffs. And Miami lost both games, and Tannehill played terrible. He played terrible in both. So he's in a similar situation. Got three games left. Two of the games are against teams that are 4-9. And he has to play well. If anybody thinks, and I heard some people complaining at this, why does every game with Ryan Tannehill have to be a referendum on him? Because it's the reality of the situation. He's not a rookie. He's not a second-year guy. He's been in Miami since 2012, and it's been inconsistent the entire time. He's consistently inconsistent. It's been a rocky road, ups and downs, and he's not a franchise quarterback. So these last three games for him really are going to tell the tale of his fate in 2019. I don't want to be too negative on it, but I'm just saying if. That's a big word. Everybody listen. If they lose all three, or they go 1-2, and Tannehill is playing bad, and the offense is only putting up 17 points, 19 points, is going like they were this past week, 1-7 on third down. They're just bad on third down. They're only running 45 plays like they ran against this week against the Patriots. You know, and the offense is just being bad, and they lose and they lose them all or lose two or three, there's no justification to bring them back next year. There's just none. The outcomes of these games matter, these final three games. They matter a lot. And for him, they matter more. Because his future in Miami, I really think, is dependent on these final three games. And, you know, fair or unfair, that's just the reality of it. Because if Miami goes 1-2 in these final three games, or they go 0-3, the Miami miracle in this win against the Patriots is going to be an afterthought. 3 weeks from now, that game's going to seem like it happened 6 months ago. It's going to be so far away. Fans, the one thing that win did is it raised expectations of the fans and it brought hope to the fans. And if this team does not, you know, if they go 2-1 but miss out on the playoffs, you tip their cap to them and say, hey, they made a late push. They had a lot of injuries this year. They made a late push and they gave it their best shot. 8-8 type of year. They tried. Okay, you can live with that. If they go 1-2 and the offense stinks, or if they go 0-3 and the offense stinks, you know, nobody's going to be in that type of nice mood. Everybody's going to be like, they had the win against the Patriots, kind of a fluke play. Then they lost the last three against two of the teams that were really bad this year in Jacksonville and the Bills. So these last three games really are a referendum on the quarterback. You know, play well or else. Period. And, you know, look, he's been here since 2012. I keep harping on that because you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a new result. So, you know, Tannehill and this team has the opportunity of a lifetime. You look at the Titans, the Colts, the Ravens, and such. Their last three games are all far more challenging than Miami. You got, you know, Indianapolis has to play the Cowboys and the Titans. The Titans got to play the Giants. I think Indianapolis also has to play the Giants. I mean, these teams got tough schedules. You have a team like the Ravens. They got to play a team like the Browns, who got a little bit of life in them right now. I mean, they have tough roads ahead. In Miami, you know, you got teams like Jacksonville, who's about to fire their head coach and has nobody to play quarterback. You have a team in the Vikings who just fired their offensive coordinator today. And then you have a team in the Buffalo Bills who's just, you know, not very good. And Miami has a golden opportunity here, and so does the quarterback. Tannehill, I know the offensive line's not perfect, not an excuse. I know some of his wide receivers are hurt, not an excuse. Go out here these final three games, play your ass off, and claim your spot as a Miami Dolphins quarterback in 2019 and beyond. But if you don't, you know, there's ramifications for that. But we'll see. You know, after that win on Sunday, I am as optimistic as anybody. Usually I pick against Miami. I can't. I can't do it this week. I'm as optimistic as anybody. Hopefully that game and that final play was the spark of life this franchise is needed. And it can carry them over here for a couple weeks and, you know, push them for a couple more wins to make this final stretch interesting. Maybe they make the playoffs. Maybe they don't. But let's make it interesting. And let's play meaningful games here late in the year. Let's go into week 17 with a game where if they win, they're in, or if they win and need some help, let's make it interesting. Let's have some fun. That's what it's about, being a football fan. So that's all I got for today. Everyone, be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We got a ton of new articles up on the website. Check it out. And also follow me on Twitter, @DolphinsTalk. And if you want to send me an email, I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Everyone have a great Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.